Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to The Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. And I hope that you are starting your day in a positive way. You know, I've been doing this show for so long, and every morning that I started, I still love what I do. And if you are a listener out there that is either new or been here for a while, I'd love to just hear from you, see how your life is going. And of course, our phone number here is 805-419-0008. You can text us there. You can call us there. We want you to be a part of the brighter side of life. And of course, our podcast is on pretty much every channel, and that is The Kim Pagano Show. And follow us through our social. I also want to remind you that I have started, which is something that has been a goal for me. We did it kind of before COVID, and now it's on again. A virtual mixer, so from my guests from all over the world and listeners, and also an in-person. And our next in-person, we've only got a couple spots left because it's already sold out, but is August 1st, and it is a 5 to 8. So if you are interested and you are a business owner or thinking of being a business owner or want to get your name out there, an author, anything like that, please reach out to me. You can text me and just write mixer. Also, I'd love to give away some comedy tickets because I love comedy. And you can just text us at that number again, 419-0008, and write comedy, and our team will pick winners, and we will get back with you. Of course, I always start our show with something positive and uplifting, and today's is live life to the fullest and focus on the positive. Really, if you look at the brighter side of life, no matter what you're doing, there's something good and something to be grateful for. So with that, I'm excited to get started and to invite and introduce my first guest. And of course, we're talking about Karen Howard. She's the author of Upset is Optional, which is so in line with what I'm talking about. Say goodbye to unnecessary suffering. And Karen Howard is the CEO and executive director of Organic and Natural Health Association, leading the organization for consumer health advocacy since the inception in 2014. And with four decades of experience in the healthcare. So we're going to talk a little bit about her new book and who she is. And Karen, are you there?
I am. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And where are you calling from, first of all?
Washington, D.C.
There you go. Okay. So talk to us about, first of all, is this your first book?
It is.
Congratulations. That's great.
Thank you very much.
And what is your purpose behind your name, Upset is Optional? And talk to us.
I had the benefit of a mentor who was the founder of the first accredited acupuncture college here in the United States and on the East Coast. And he did many years of lots of philosophical training. I was in his master's program, Applied Healing Arts, How to Be a Healing Presence Through Words and Actions. And in his later years, he actually had left the school and he created a mentoring program, almost like coaching, where he was teaching us, he boiled down all of this very sophisticated philosophical language into 10 very simple practices for people to go out and teach, learn ourselves, and then teach people how to do this so that you could literally reduce unnecessary suffering in the world. There always will be suffering, of course, and experience what it's like to consider upset as something that you don't have to do.
I love that. And so we're talking about anxiety, stress, nervousness,
anger, right? All those things that, I mean, whether you know it or not, we all have it, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the words that we use can bring that on.
Right, right. And, you know, it's interesting. 17 years ago, I started this radio show, and I was a hair therapist. And I remember people, you know, walking in my salon, and I was making them look good and feel good. And it was interesting. It's all mindset. It's really how we really live our lives. And I think that is what we feed our brain, what we look on the media, right? I mean, we have to surround ourselves with positive, inspiring people.
I think that is that's really helpful. And yet, you know, imagine you're on the West Coast. You know what road rage looks like, right? So, these things impact us physically, and the language and the actions and words can be incredibly toxic. So, I think that makes this, especially now, given what we're going through in our political world.
Correct.
This is really important for people to sort of take in and see if they can feel it. Because as my mentor used to say, Bob used to say, you know, he had patients that when they were calm, they had fewer asthma attacks. So you can really have a direct impact on your health.
I definitely can 100% agree with you, right? And so let me ask you, first of all, did you have anxiety? Is this one of the things that why you chose to write about this?
You know, I went through this and learned so much, had the privilege of this teaching, and I had enormous. I have friends who remember me when I was doing a very large job, you know, representing all the naturopathic doctors nationwide, and they were like, wow, because you were in a lot of upset when I knew you. So it was definitely a big component of my life. And then as I shifted and made changes, I was able to make changes that have put myself at great ease now. So mm-hmm. I've changed my life as a result of this. And I changed relationships that were problematic for me, like with my mother. And I got out of a marriage without any upset. So it's had a very profound effect on my life.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, yeah, we have to look at the people that are toxic in our lives, that are, you know, sucking the human out of us, right? And remove it. Because if we keep doing the same thing over and over again, you know, nothing's going to change, correct?
Yes, and there are really simple tools that don't require you to do something drastic, you know, like fly away from fear and anger. For me, as an example, with my relationships with my mother, I couldn't change her. That was never going to change. So I had minimal options, right? And I was able to, for my purposes, reframe my relationship with her before she died.
Wow. Yeah, that's really important. So how can our listeners manage? I mean, first of all, we have the election anxiety, first of all, right? I mean, our governors are very scary, and I don't talk about politics or religion on my show purposely, but I know that you have strategies that you've outlined in your book. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so one of the strategies that I like to use is a word wall. And it's not just words that you speak out loud. I tend to use a lot of words that I shouldn't be using in my head. And the simplest one is to say, don't use the word but. You flip it and use the word and. It's a really great example of something. If you say but, it's like a negative. And you say and, you can still make your point, but you're making it in a different way.
So I like that. Okay.
Yeah. So in this environment, I find myself saying words like dolt, moron. You know, they just kind of wander through my head. And because I have been in D.C. for over 40 years, I watch a lot of politics. I read a lot of politics. And I have retrained myself to use words like, that's interesting, instead of either mentally or out loud. That's interesting, so that I can not get engaged in the battle, so that I don't start the internal battle. And you can choose words like that. You can also, if you have had kids and you use Mad Libs, you can just say out loud words that don't make any sense, like, what a popsicle.
Got it. And almost like to deter your brain, right?
It does. It really does deter your brain. It's like your brain responds to language and your body responds to that. So just making a word wall of all the words that you think you don't want to use anymore and finding other words that you can put in their place is a very effective tool.
I like that. And you call it a word wall?
I call it a word wall.
I love that. I'm totally going to incorporate that into my world. Okay, so that's perfect. And so what are some of the practical tips for reframing? Obviously, this is one of them, negative emotions and frustrations and fears, right? What else do you talk about in your book?
So reframing is good because it goes back a little bit to the beginning conversation that I was talking about with my mom, which is create a bigger world, like create a world that you want to live in. So what does that mean? Well, for me, it was looking at my mom's life in a totally different perspective as to why didn't I ask her questions about these stories that she used to tell so I could get more information about her. And she was a difficult woman to live with. And so that's how I was able to sort of just be with her and be an observer. One other way I think that works for this conversation that we're so mired in now with reframing is I use this great trick now to say when we talk about political candidates, many of us don't use any names anymore because it's so polarizing. So I renamed them Martha Washington and Mary Todd Lincoln. And when I use that myself, I can't define who the person is that I like and dislike. So those are tricks in terms of reframing, just rethinking, giving yourself bigger space so that you're not caught up in the conversation. You know, we can turn it off, absolutely, and I take breaks all the time. And that's very effective. But when you're in it, And you're having that conversation with someone and you want this person who you love and trust, and it's probably a member of your family, to continue to be in your life, just step back and go, that's very interesting, and just be a deep listener.
Did your mom pass away?
She did. She did not too long after I was able to have that observation myself.
And so you left it on a good note.
Yeah, I felt good. I mean, she was, you know, mama's mom, so that we all have mothers. And but I was at peace in terms of my ability to be with her and at that time. And I
think
and it was, yeah.
Do you think that's the reason you wrote this book?
I think it's a series of events. The other one that I really would turn to is the most practical use. There have been many practical uses, but when I decided to end my marriage of 25 years, I wanted it to be extremely peaceful as possible. So you talk about reframing. This was a big reframing. And I was able to deeply listen to his issues. Mm-hmm. And I was able to get out of this long relationship with two college children with no lawyers and no animosity.
Wow, beautiful.
And
that's what life's
practice.
About.
Yeah.
That
was in deep practice. And these stories are both in the book. So people can get a real kind of hands-on view of how to read these things.
Yeah, wow. And so how does setting daily intentions, I know you talk about that in your book, and that is really like, I like to start my day in a positive way. You know, I wake up, I'm like, I'm grateful for another day. You know, I make my list of what I need to get done, my priority, you know, and I work my day. And how do you do it?
You just defined the book. Even from your intro, you could write this book.
So really?
If you can define your mood every day, and it sounds like yours is gratuitous, you're grateful.
Yep.
Mine is peaceful. Before my feet hit the floor or as they hit the floor or, you know, it used to be when I was walking the dog, you know, however that worked, I would say, this is how I'm going to design my day. I'm going to be peaceful. And in the beginning, your listeners are thinking, oh, this sounds so easy, but it is actual practice. As you know, you have to remind yourself every day and you have to remind yourself throughout the day. So I would have sticky notes on my computer. If I was driving, I'd put a sticky note in my car. I had I put my watch on the other arm, and it would be like, why is that? Oh, yeah, this is my reminder to be peaceful today. And a rubber band around your arm.
Wrist,
you
yeah.
Start to get out of it. You're like,
I know all of those tricks. Yep. And for our listeners, maybe, you know, just a simple rubber band that comes off the newspaper, okay? And you get that negative thought, and you kind of click it, you know, on your
just
wrist
it,
just
yep.
to remind it, you know? Yeah.
Lipstick on your mirror in the morning. Like, what do you want to do? How do you design your day? That's a good one. So there are lots of good ways. Okay. And I just always like to remind people, it is practice. So you only get better with practice.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, here's another thing, which I think that I could totally talk to you about, because I think you're in the same mindset, is, you know, so many people, I write for a magazine too, and this next month, in fact, today I got to turn it in, is all about style. And this is your style that you set yourself up for. And so this is how you want to, your walk, your talk, who you want to be in this world. You know, it also comes down to, like, how do you want to dress? How do you want people to see you? How do you want to, you know? And so, like, you found a mentor that really moved you to this next place. And yeah. So people have to look at, like, who impresses you? Who lights your world up? Like, who can you be with you, your transportation that God gave us, okay, being your best person. And that's what life's all about, being and showing up in your best. Do you agree?
I do. And the way I remind myself of that is, that I know that I'm only one generation. And so I'm a big proponent of serving seven. So I the work I do honors the three generations that came before me, the one at just the work that I'm in right now. And it's for the sake of the three generations to come, who I will never know. So that keeps me honest.
That's amazing. I never thought. I mean, Anne, you're right. It's kind of, and when you think of that, it makes me think of, like, a mountain, okay? And it rains and a little bit of dirt and rocks. And then it's like we've all created to who we are now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if I stray from that and I go, there's a story in the book about me working for a water bottling company that I thought was going to do one thing and was really just there to make money. I am unhappy, ineffective, and I was gone within a year. I have quit my job more times than I can count.
Yeah. Well, I always say, like, I'm breaking through to my next, whatever that next is. So I was a hair therapist. I interviewed people. I wish I would have known I was going to be a radio host, because I would have gone to school for this, you know, and then maybe been on TV by now. But, you know, I didn't know this was going to be my next. You didn't know this was going to be your next. And I really, for my listeners out there, whoever's listening, what is your next? Because we don't, that's the only thing we definitely know is everything changes. We're not here forever. So we got to make an impact. And when you keep in that one place, you tend to be stuck. So you got to be open for what's next.
Great advice. I believe in that wholeheartedly.
Thank you. Yeah. And so let me ask you, first of all, where do we find your book? And
it's on Amazon and available through upsetisoptional.com, the website.
Okay. And give us, I guess you can say, we are in the thick of elections right now, and I'm sure people are anxiety. There, you see it on social. It's almost like I'm afraid to even talk about it because, you know, we all have an opinion. And I'm the kind of person, like, okay, you have an opinion, doesn't make you right or wrong, and my opinion didn't make me right or wrong, but you see such division in our world, and I don't like that. I want everybody to feel peaceful and know that we are all out there trying to make this world a better place. And when you see, God forbid, an accident, a car accident, or you see somebody hurting, you hope, and I see it. We are good people deep down, and everybody goes to help you. That's what we want the world to be.
Yeah. So be an observer. Don't always engage. just sometimes listen, just be an observer. And know, as you're personally suffering, know that this is one moment in time. We've got over 230 years behind us. We should have at least that many more. And so this is one moment in time. This is not the end of the world. Don't get caught in the story. Deal with the phenomena, what's actually happening in the moment. And it'll be over. And then 4 years, it'll be over again. So do not despair. Just know that as time goes on, you know, I think that's one of the things that I have to remind myself of, because I am such a political hound. And you're right. Empathy for the people that you love, mm-hmm. and no despair. Do not stay away from the polls because you feel like it doesn't count. Remember that all your votes, all
we
the way
all
up and
count.
Down,
yes, absolutely. Count. Yeah, all we count. All can make a difference. I love that. Karen Howard, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business. Please share our show with everyone. Let's connect on social. And if you know any other amazing people to bring on here, we would love that. And, of course, for our listeners, Karen's newest book, Upset is an Option, Say Goodbye to Unnecessary Suffering. And we hope that you get her book on Amazon. So, Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Download our podcast, too.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. And, of course, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us. When we come back, we will be talking with Penelope Holt. And her book is The Angel Scroll, Prophecy, Destiny, and Love. It's a novel. And we'll be right back.
Ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out SurvivalSwimWithKim.com. That's SurvivalSwimWithKim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com. For WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans, Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit TNTAMS.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly, 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255, or go to TNTAMS.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. I do want to remind you of our in-person mixer, August 1st, 5 to 8 in Camarillo. And if you are interested, just call us and or text us and write mixer, and one of my team members will get back with you. And, of course, that's 805-419-0008. You'll be able to share your business with speakers, dinner, and lots of sponsors. And I'm telling you, it's going to be another great time. Also, I do want to share that we do have two sponsors, Brenda Backel. And of course, she's a personal chef at bbskitchen.com. And then, of course, she does personal parties and dietary. And then, of course, we have Sloan Reale, and she's an expert voice and confidence coach. And so they're going to be talking a little bit about their business. And, of course, we'd love to have you there. So, again, well, we're going to introduce our next guest, and I'm really excited to talk with her, Penelope Holt. And, of course, her newest book is The Angel Scrolls, Sacred Secrets, and it's challenging readers to expand their view of reality. And Penelope, are you there?
I am. Hello, Kim.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Going into the weekend.
Yes, exactly. And thank you so much for joining us here. Talk to us a little bit. I know this isn't your first book. I was kind of reading through it a little bit. And you're from UK. My family's all out there. And you work in New York now, right? And you were the author of The Apples Angels, correct, in Harlem?
Yes, The Apple, which is a Holocaust, about a Holocaust survivor, and Angels in Harlem, yeah, which is about the Harlem Gospel Choir, yeah.
Okay, and then also The Business Intelligence at Work, correct?
Yes.
Interesting names. And, of course, now The Angel Scroll. So talk to us about that. And of course, it's all about prophecy, destiny, and love. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I grew up in England, in the north of England. I went to university in York, which I don't know where your family is, Kim, in the UK.
London.
But York, Leicester, yeah. Well, not far from a little bit, that's a little bit south of where I grew up. But okay. York is a very ancient city. It was the where the Romans, when they invaded in 55 BC, it was their capital. It's fortified. That's where they did all of their forays, you know, as they were occupying the land. And then later the Vikings came through. So I grew up, went to university there, began life as a playwright, always wanted to be a writer, eventually wound up in New York City, tried playwriting, made very little money, and sort of parlayed my writing skill into marketing and advertising, where at least I get a chance to write every day, but never gave up my fiction habit. I've written a bunch of books, you know, for business, speech writing, ghostwriting, co-authoring business books. And like you say, I recently did the Business Intelligence at Work book, which is understanding about understanding emotions in business. but this book, The Angel Scroll, I've worked on for a long time. It's sort of a, my own personal ideas and seeking into, you know, spiritual truth. When we are bereaved and we lose people, we really start approaching those questions of where, who am I? Where did I come from? Where's my loved one gone? Will I see them again? So it's, if you like the Da Vinci Code, it's sort of reminiscent of the Da Vinci Code in that it's a scavenger hunt for three sacred paintings that have been prophesied, and it incorporates a lot of sort of fringe or little known religious fringe theories, like Jesus traveling through India.
Wow, that's interesting. And now, is this your personal journey?
Well, the heroine of the book, Claire Lucas, is bereaved. She's lost her husband, and she becomes a seeker. And she starts to have psychic experiences. She channels. She paints this amazing masterpiece, channels it. And she starts to have strange visions. And she's not a particular believer. She's just a mundane person going through her life. So she's trying, as she gets pulled into this scavenger hunt based on this prophecy. So she's very befuddled and confused. And she meets a Catholic Benedictine monk and a Buddhist monk and an anthropologist who studies goddess worship. And they're all, and a doctor who says she's got a physical problem. And they're all trying to give her explanations of why she's having these strange experiences. And so she's trying to figure out. And I think most people do that. They may not deviate from their own religious belief system, or but everyone is looking for that sort of metaphysical explanation for life. Like I say, especially when you're bereaved, and it brings up those questions, those, you know, those deeper questions beyond what am I going to make for dinner tonight, but how do I get over the loss of this person.
Right. And now, have you lost somebody close to you?
I lost my parents quite a long time ago. They died when my kids were little. And I 2 years ago, I lost my sister, which was a very, very big loss for me. She was my best friend. And I recently lost my brother. So I think, you know, as you go, as we all move forward in life, some of us are fortunate to hang on to the people that we love dearly. We have them for a long time. You know, sometimes children lose their parents. People are ripped away from us. But life as we get older is a sort of series of subtractions, isn't it? We can lose our youth and our health and the people we love and even our purpose in life. So people have to figure out a way of a belief system to keep themselves going, and to frame a vision of life that is optimistic, and to keep moving forward and seeing that even though things are lost, there's also, you know, there's a lot to be gained if you can just move forward, sally forth in life with the right mindset. But it's not easy. A lot of losses, compounded losses, can demoralize someone to the point where they just feel out for the count, and they don't feel like getting back up again. And that's where the heroine of my book is. She's really devastated. She feels amputated, and she's looking for purpose and meaning.
I lost both of my parents, and my mom 7 years ago, my dad just in this last October. And it is a weird feeling because you feel like, wow, nobody, like they were my cheerleaders. They loved whatever I did, you know? And so sometimes I look back and go, I never thought I would survive. But I have to tell you, it is a mindset. And I remember feeling so angry at first and thinking, gosh, maybe I need, you know, to go to a grieving counselor or something. And you just take each feeling and keep walking through it. And I think that's really what you're talking about here, is this walking through it. And of course, I think your story is so many people's lives, right?
Yeah. And so I want to ask you, in getting through it, what new ideas or beliefs about yourself and life did you have to integrate in order to keep going? What did you have to tell yourself about putting that loss in perspective?
Well, for me, what I told myself was that I had incredible parents. They both knew that I loved them. I knew that they loved me. The time that I spent with them was very valuable. I feel like I really lived my life and didn't really have regrets. And I know that there's a lot of people that go through life and have regrets. And I also lost a baby. She lived to be 11 months old. And again, you know, and I'm so fortunate. I have four beautiful children now and five grandchildren. But, you know, life is kind of like everybody has cards that they're dealt in life. And nobody, I mean, you know, there's just different people have different things that they have to deal with. And those are lessons that we have to walk through. And so, yeah, you have hard times. Yeah, you feel sad. Yeah, you feel sometimes maybe even depressed. But it's knowing what you have to do for your body to keep going on and knowing what brings you joy and happiness. And so that's really how I walk through it. And you know, a lot of people don't reach out to a lot of people. Even though I'm a radio host, I'm super social, but I'm also very personal with my feelings. And you know, so I would say probably the biggest thing is to be vulnerable, to just say, this is a sad day for me today, but I'm going to, you know, I would take a walk. I would go to a happy place. I would get a massage. Treat myself to a nice meal, reminisce, you know? And
yeah.
that's what I did.
Yeah,
and still do.
You're right about you can't go around it. You have to go through it.
Yes.
And, you know, you have those days where you're feeling better and you think, oh, yeah, I can do this. And then you get up and it hits you again like a ton of bricks and it's so fresh.
Yeah.
I'm close to my sister's daughter, so reminiscing because her mom, my sister, was so fun. She was just fun. She was a feel good person and funny. So sometimes we'll talk for hours about things she said and done, and it really keeps them alive because you know, what lives in memory never dies.
Yeah.
And I had a very specific mantra because you've got very sad, dark thoughts. And so my mantra was, I want to live with gratitude and acceptance, optimism and purpose. So I repeated that incessantly, just sort of, you know, to hypnotize myself almost. And then I think the other, I came across this definition of forgiveness. I know that they talk about the stages of grief and that the final one is acceptance, but it can be very difficult to accept. And right. I told myself, come on, this is ridiculous. Everybody loses someone. You know, death is inevitable for all of us. You cannot keep railing because against the fact that you've lost this person that you love. But I couldn't stop. I couldn't just stop saying, I want her back. It's not acceptable. But I heard this definition of forgiveness, which I hadn't heard until, a little while after she died 2 years ago. And it said, forgiveness is understanding that it couldn't have been any other way. And I think if you know, we don't forgive ourselves, we look back and say, I wish I'd been a better person, that I hadn't done this, I hadn't said that, or that person, you know, shouldn't have done this and they shouldn't have done that. And if they hadn't said this, I would. And then I think you get to the point, it's not letting anyone off the hook, but it's understanding that it couldn't have been any other way because life is playing out as it does with millions of variables. You know, people get sick. And it's this idea that you can change it or you can will it to be different, or you're constantly ruminating over something in the past that you literally cannot change. You just have to accept that it couldn't have been any other way. And move
unfortunately,
on.
Penelope, that was your sister's story.
Yes.
you know, and yeah, as much as we try to change it, we can't change somebody else's story. We all have our cards or our story, you know, or our mountain that we're climbing. And that's exactly it. And so what are we going to find in your book? And what is the spiritual message that you're hoping that this book will convey?
The spiritual message is it's love, really. It's the reason Claire suffers so much is because she loves so deeply. And they say it, don't they, that it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. And that with deep love comes intense grief. That's the price we pay. But ultimately, like you said, when we move into acceptance, then we start looking for the meaning right. of that person. And that might, you, like you said, you had no regrets. You always felt loved by your parents. So, and it's also the message of, you know, finding those deeper truths. And some people are certain about their faith and other people are, you know, seeking and they're looking down different paths and trying to find truths that work for them, that make sense to them. And mm-hmm. I never question people's experience and how they arrive at, you know, where they are. So she's a seeker. She's very skeptical. She doesn't want to swallow things whole. She doesn't want to believe in, you know, supernatural nonsense. But she's challenged to broaden her perspective and her understanding of life. And I think we all do that. And I think, you know, you get to a certain point in life, you have a philosophy. Not everything makes sense to us. There's so much that we don't know, but we sort of get wiser and we have an understanding about why things are the way they are and how to move through life and where the meaning is. And so I think those are some of the themes that it's a rollicking good story too. I mean, it's based in Manhattan and Israel and England and throughout Europe, you know, sacred places like Rome and Siena and Lake Como. So it's
you know,
a lot
it's
of
interesting
adventure
when
in it.
People write novels, I always wonder, like, who is this person? Is this a part of you? Is this a part of your sister? Who is this person?
I think
or is it just a made up, like a fantasy.
It's a, I think it represents a lot of my interests. I've been involved.
Oh.
You know, I like comparative religion. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, I was reading a book, Jesus in India, that Jesus was an Essene, part of the Essene sect, they believe, and the Essenes were very influenced by Hinduism and reincarnation, and they were didn't believe in animal sacrifice. That came down through Moses, through the Egyptian mysteries. So I think sometimes we forget that religions, you know, especially Abrahamic, that they're sort of intertwined culturally and historically and geographically. And we, you know, we have this sort of very well-defined version that comes down, but there's just, when you dig, there's just so much intrigue. So I all of these Glastonbury tour, you know, the search for the Holy Grail, the fact that Jesus of Arimathea, who gave Jesus his tomb, allegedly came to England to evangelize and convert the Celtic pagans to Christianity. So all
wow,
of these things that I've been, you know, fascinated, they all kind of, it was like, how can
they're
I weave them
book.
In? Yeah, they're all in the book. How
book.
Can I weave them in?
Right. And
yeah.
I know that you talked briefly about reincarnation in the book too, correct?
Yeah, yes, many, you know, many Eastern traditions, Hinduism, Buddhism, and the Essenes, the Jewish Essenes believed in reincarnation. And that's a very tricky metaphysical proposition.
Yeah.
You can look, I think it's to do with sort of the eternal now and not really understanding how consciousness works and what we have access to in terms of experience and lives. But whether you believe it or not, there's many, many fascinating, there's many fascinating episodes, including these kids. I saw a 5-year-old child playing the piano like Mozart the other day.
I know, this is very, very true. You're absolutely right. Penelope Holt, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. And again, how do my listeners find your book?
If they go to PenelopeHolt.com, they can see the trailer and read some of the blogs and link to the book on Amazon. But you can pretty much, as they say, find it where any place where books are sold.
Well, I love it. Let's connect on social, and please share our show and download our podcast. And if you know any other amazing guests, please share them with me. And thank you again. Best of luck.
I would be happy to, Kim, and have a wonderful weekend. Thank you.
You too. Thank you so much. All right. Well, we are just going to move right on to our next guest, and Brian Moody from Kelly Blue Book. He's going to be talking about 2024 best family cars. And of course, he's going to share which new vehicles are fit for the family. So let's bring Brian on. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, I've got Brian Moody, executive editor for Kelly Blue Book. Everybody knows Kelly Blue Book when you're looking to either buy a car, sell a car, see what the value is, right? All that good stuff. And so talk to us, first of all, what's going on?
Well, we're in a bit of a different situation now than we were about a year and a half ago. You remember about a year and a half ago, it was all about shortages, not enough cars, people can't find. You know, like one example I always think of is that there was a Toyota dealership in Marin, and they had one minivan. That's it. Only one minivan. And of course, they had many more than one minivan customer. And so the price, of course, was expensive because people wanted what they wanted. Today, we're kind of at the opposite of that. There's plenty of new and used cars. Consumers can find what they're looking for pretty easily. The prices are trending downward, but they're not at pre-pandemic levels quite yet. So, you know, the interest rates are high. There's a lot of things conspiring to make it relatively unaffordable. But at the same time, there are discounts and incentives if you know where to look and you have to do your research and, of course, know your credit score.
Okay. So share some of those tips. If anybody is listening right now that is in the car shopping, you know, place right now, whether you're online or going to a dealership, there's still ways to get some great discounts, correct?
Yes, there are incentives right now. Like you can see incentives with low APR, cash back, all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. It's not brand by brand. It's not like every Ford or Honda or whatever. It's so specific. It's down to model by model. So in order for you to find those incentives or to qualify, you kind of have to do a lot of research, because what it might be is that one car of a certain brand may have a nice discount and the one sitting right next to it might not. So you really have to do your research, find those discounts and find the deals.
I remember when we were buying our car, and I want to say it was already 6 months ago, Costco was giving a great discount, and now that's off.
Yep.
So you have to really look at what you're, you know, what you can get. Correct. Yeah.
There's a couple of little secret ones that you can do that people don't often know about. You can often get a military discount. You can also get, not every manufacturer does this, but many do, a recent college graduate discount. So if you graduated from college in the last year, you may be entitled to a small discount, but you have to ask. And honestly, how would they know whether you graduated from college or not? They'd have to ask you. So you have to bring that up. And also, you can sometimes get a better deal or a discount if you own a competing car. So let's just say that you want to buy a Volvo and you currently own a competitor to that, like, say, an Acura or a Lexus. You may get a discount because they want to have what's called a conquest sale, meaning they switched you from one brand to the next. But again, you have to ask about that.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. Okay, so what are the most important features to consider when we're buying a car right now, especially a family car?
So one thing you're going to consider. That's totally true. So one thing you're going to consider is, do you need a two-row or a three-row? That's going to be determined by the size of your family or how many people or how many dogs or cats or whatever you haul around. That's going to determine it. So for two-row SUVs, there's a couple that we like. The Honda CR-V is a perfect example of that. If you don't need a three-row SUV, those are great because they're less expensive, they're smaller, and they get better gas mileage. What you want to look for is seats that fold flat. You want to look for a good safety rating. You want to look for a 360-degree parking camera. And you also want to look for vehicles that have a wide variety of options. So you don't want to have to always get the top of the line one that's expensive. You want to have the option of getting a lesser expensive car, even if that means you don't get a sunroof or a big fancy chrome wheels.
Good. Interesting. Very good tips. Okay. And so which vehicles top this year's best? Like who? Which one is at the top? Give us the top three.
Well, we kind of grouped them by two-row and three-row. So I'll give you the three for two-row, which is Honda CR-V, Hyundai Ioniq 5, and Subaru Outback. For the three-row, which are bigger, we have the Ford Expedition, the Honda Pilot, the Hyundai Santa Fe, and the Kia Telluride. There's also minivans. Some people are opposed to minivans, but I like them. And in minivans, it would be the Honda Odyssey or the Toyota Sienna.
There you go. And what about Suburbans or any of those? Are you interested in any of that?
Yeah, so our pick for the full size is the Ford Expedition. That's the what we believe when you factor in resale value, features, price, and roominess, we think the Ford Expedition is the best three-row full-size SUV for families.
Okay. Okay. Well, cool. And so my question to you is, if somebody is either, like, I mean, back when, and I don't even know if it was before the pandemic or after the pandemic, used cars were more valuable than brand new cars, correct? Where's it at now?
Yes. The prices for used cars has kind of evened out a little bit. Right now, we know that the average listing price of a used car is about $25,000. So that's down somewhat. It's not, they're not as high as they were before. But here's something to keep in mind along with what you're saying. Interest rates are high. And so you might think, well, I'm going to get a used car because I can't afford a new car. And that, of course, that does make sense. But because interest rates are already high and because they're typically even higher for used cars than for new cars, you might be able to find a new car with a slightly lower interest rate that's going to save you money versus a 2 or 3 year old used car that's going to have a higher interest rate. If you're paying 100%, cash, that doesn't apply. But if you're financing, you may get a better deal on the interest that would wash in the end you getting a better deal on the new car than the used car.
Right. And now I remember there was a time where you had to almost pay a premium. Like, I remember we'd be like, okay, I'll take this car. Oh, no, we're going to walk away, and they'd come down.
Yeah.
Is that the factor now or no?
There's more cars, and I think that that's, you know, for coming the most back. Part, it goes model by model. For high-end luxury cars, yeah, you're probably still going to pay a premium. But what that was about was that there were only so many cars to sell, and at that when the supply is low and demand is high, that isn't the time that you're going to strike a deal. It just isn't. That's just not how it works. When demand is low or moderate and there's plenty of supply, you have a better deal of getting a discount or some kind of a deal. Even if it's just, hey, we'll put in some free car washes or free service or free maintenance or whatever it is. Any of those things are more likely now because there's an abundance of cars versus before there was a lack of cars.
There you go. And now my last question, which this has been so helpful.
Sure.
Sticker price. Is your sticker price really your price, or where are you at? How can you make deals that way?
Depending on the vehicle. So if, again, a year and a half ago, what we were talking about, it would have been like, you'll be lucky to get it for sticker price. Today,
and a premium on top of it. Correct. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, for luxury cars, people that can afford a $100,000 car, they don't care. They're just going to pay it because they want what they want. They want the one with black wheels and shiny chrome. Today, what we tell people is start with the sticker price as the beginning point. And you may have to go up a little or down a little from there to find the right thing for you. So sticker price is a good starting point, but many cars today are transacting for lower than that. There are some transacting for higher than that, but that just depends on, it's model by model. There's really no blanket. All these are discounted. It's just not like that right now. It's so hit and miss that you kind of have to know specifically what you're looking for. And seeing sticker price as a starting point is a good way to do it. Some dealerships are moving to a one-price model, which is kind of like when you go buy a TV. You don't go to the TV
Wow.
store and say, oh, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll give you $500. Some dealerships are just saying, listen, this car is $30,000 and it's that price for everybody all day, every day. There's nothing
Right.
else to it. And sometimes that helps because people have said that they don't like the stress of having to negotiate.
100%. Last question, and I know we got to go, but this has been, what if you already paid too much for your car and you want to change your car now? Do you have to take the hit, or is there a secret?
You probably have to take the hit unless you have a dealership that has some kind of 30-day trial or exchange, and then they may take it back, but you still have to buy a
No,
car
this
from them.
is like you've already bought it, you've had it for a couple months, you bought it maybe, and now the price went down.
No, that's just
You're
how the
done.
market works. There's no, you could go back to them and say, hey, I feel like, this, but the chances are that's you just have to take the hit.
Got it. Okay. Well, Brian, this has been incredible, and thank you so much. Where do my listeners find out more information?
You can go to KBB.com, that's Kelley Blue Book's website, and specifically about the cars we were talking about here, you can go to KBB.com/awards and see all of our most highly regarded and award-winning cars right there on that page.
You got it. Have a great rest of your day, and please share our show, Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business. Thank you so much,
Thank
Brian.
you.
We end all of our shows with a moment of happiness. Today's is, in life's journey, we often encounter challenges that test our resilience and determination. During such times, positive thinking can be our greatest ally. With that, have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.
I got a pocket full of sunshine. I got a love.